Blog Talk Radio.
The host of the Bridget Norville Show, Bridget Norville.
Okay, I am back on, and I hope everyone can hear me, because from what I understand, no one could have heard me.
Yeah.
And I think I talked about everything, and no one heard me.
If there's someone on the line, I think Dr. Cash is on the line. If you're on the line and you can hear me, please text me and tell me you can hear me. Brother Warren, if you are on the line and you can hear me, please tell me you can hear me, because, they can't hear me. So I'm going to try this again. Okay. I don't hear anyone. Okay, hold on. Mr. Houston, are you on the line?
I'm here. You were having some technical difficulty?
You can hear me. Yes, I was having technical difficulty. I was asking someone to please let me know if you can hear me. I was telling all this information. And let's start this again. This is Mr. Warren Houston, and he is with the People Law Study Group. We're not going to bring him on. He's going to bring him on at 1:15, 1:10, but we do have some other special guests that's coming on for the things that I was mentioning and I was talking about. But, and there's my friend Beth. there's my friend Beth. You know, Beth comes on and helps us out. Mr. Houston did have an awesome show this Sunday, yesterday, and he was talking on polygamy and natural law and all kinds of different laws, and it kind of struck something in my girl, so I told her we're going to talk about it on the show for, you know, a quick second. I thank everyone for holding on and knowing that they couldn't hear me, so I know I have loyal listeners. Well, as I was talking, let's go back over the conversation. I was talking about, I know you missed me. I know that you actually know that I was out of town. This is my own show now. I was inspired by a person that really saw a lot in me, and it was time for me to go out on my own. And I have a lot to share with you, a whole lot. You know, there was something that happened in Texas. You know, the police officer, once again, they act up and they do what they did. And as you know, if you don't know, it's a pool party. Don't have the full detail. Mr. Houston talked about it last night on his show, and the full detail of the officer's name. But from what I did see, the officer took the actual young lady, 14 years old, and threw her down and do what they did. And if you know me, you know the person in front of you, you know Bridget Norvell. You've always listened to the Bridget Norvell show. You know that I have my opinions. And my opinion is they're going to do what they do. I've warned you, I've told you that the nation, the energy of the nation is in rage, it's in defense. And we're just seeing things that we know that is going to actually take place, but what are you going to do? You have to make sure that you keep yourself intact and you just do what you do. You know, don't act up. And to talk about that, I have someone calling in from the Nation of Islam. I don't know if they're on yet. I see, Brother Warren, you are texting me. So if you can let me know if Brother James is on, that would be our Minister James is on really good. That would be really good because he's going to talk about why the Nation of Islam and Black Panther actually went out there and, you know, made their presence known. No one really understood the march or what was going on, but I'm glad they did. I'm glad that they took a stand and whatever reason they took the stand for. And I don't know if you know, also, they're getting ready to have their 20th anniversary for the March to Washington, and that is the Million Man March. And the Million Man March was started in October 16, 1995. Well, this October, they're going to do the same thing, too. And the reason why I invited them on for a little while to let me know and tell me what's going on with this particular march is because of the theme. The theme kind of bothered me. And you know how we do it on this show. I am open to everyone's opinion because at the end of the day, you have no right, you have no wrong. How you see it, how you perceive it is you. So I let you be you. So I want them to come on. And the theme this year is justice or else. Not that or else. I want to know what's going on with that or else. I did see the minister on the actual Breakfast Club
in an interview, and he was passionate, very passionate. You always know Sister Farrakhan can be passionate. So I heard what he said, but, you know, you always have to get the inside scoop and what's really going on before we make judgment of something. But I am happy that they are taking a stand again. Now, as you know, I went to the United Nation, and I was in New York City, and I met Akon, and the rapper, and he's taking a stand of what's going on for energy, the sustainable energy. And there are private sectors that was there to get a piece of the pie. What I was really worried about was the piece of the pie is, thank you, Brother Warren, the piece of the pie is that China is really getting a big piece, a chunk of it. And there's other people playing a part of that. And we need to step up, people. We really need to step up. I'm talking to the churches. Let me talk to y'all for a second. You know, this is my soapbox. Let me talk to you. Where were y'all? You know, back in 1980, I remember my aunt having the opportunity to purchase land in Africa, certain parts of the country. And we did. I saw my family put their money together. Some got 500, some got 1,000. But they have the land. But it's not enough of us that's out there to make a difference. And it's not because it's Africa. It doesn't have to do with a race. But it has to do to make a change. Are you buying land here? And that's some rich land over there. So you're missing out. Yeah, they're going after private sectors. The government is eating it up. And if we don't step up on our game, we're going to keep on missing out. So that's just me. I see Beth on the line, and I want to bring her on. I got to laugh with my girl. I got to laugh with her. And Beth, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I have to bring Minister James on the line, and when he's done talking about the nation, we're going to go ahead and tackle that little conversation that Mr. Houston had last night about polygamy. So I think that's going to be a great conversation. But let's see. Mr. James, I am going to bring you on. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Bridget, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
How are you? I'm good. Yes, I can hear you very well. Thank you for coming on. Such short notice, you know how I do it. I'm just going to throw you all on there. Tell us a little about what happened in McKinney, Texas, and also give us about 5 minutes of what this next march is about.
Certainly. First, let me thank you for allowing me this time on your show. I wish to express my gratitude to you and to your listening audience. On behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I want to say that the time has arrived where we are in the valley of decision regarding the injustice that we consistently and continuously suffer, not only in Texas, not only in Baltimore, not only in South Carolina, but throughout this nation called America. As far as McKinley, Texas is concerned, as you know, and I'm sure the world now is becoming aware of, there was an officer that invaded, if you will, a pool party, the result of which wound up with him throwing a 14-year-old girl to the ground. And his picture and the video was on YouTube with his gun out and his knee in her back. What this tells us, that compounded with the killing of our young son, nephew, little boy, Tamir Rice, that there is in the mentality of the police department and a general mentality that there is no respect for black life. And they are using as a justification for that disrespect the destruction that we wrought on each other in the black community. You know, dear sister, The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one day I'm going to call a march. That march will be for justice. Because at this stage of our development, we're being forced now to consider which is the way to go forward. Singing in and waiting in and crying in, praying in, and now I understand we are dying in, have not worked. Marches have not worked, and oppression and tyranny are getting worse. So we decided on the 20th, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, on the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March, to return to the Capitol. The first time we went, it was on atonement, reconciliation.
Oh, did we lose him?
I don't know. Are you still, he's still there.
Can you hear me, dear sister?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can I be heard, Sister Bridget?
Sure, go ahead. Do your thing. Go ahead.
Wow. Sister Bridget, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah,
we
can you hear me?
I don't know where I left off. Obviously, we're experiencing technical difficulty. Excuse me?
Did you hear me? I think you said atonement.
Oh, yes.
That was the last
I was saying, oh, yes. We were, when we went to Washington initially in 1995, the basis of our presence there was to call the black man to atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. We wanted black men to accept the responsibility of being a man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one day I'm going to call a march, and that march will be for justice. He said it won't be like the march in 63, where people were laughing and frolicking and having a good time. When you say you're going for justice and a job, that's no time to party. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us, you've got to have a mind and ask, what are we going to do to move the forces of injustice if they won't bow to the truth that should bring justice? At that point, we're all in the valley of decision. And so we are returning to the theme upon the theme, justice or else. And I will repeat, justice or else.
Okay. Well, you heard it. You heard it from the actual minister mouth. He's located in, you're in the Orlando area, right?
Yes. In fact, I'm in Orlando right now as we speak. We
I
were
am too,
blessed.
So.
Oh, praise be to God. We were blessed to receive the appointment as the student minister over the city of Orlando and the surrounding areas a couple of months ago. And, of course, our priority is to seek justice on behalf of our people and all people in Orlando, regardless to class, creed, or color.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for your time. I thank you for coming on, for explaining this to us. I know that a lot of us had questions and we needed the answer. I hope some of you got your answer, and we will bring them back on. Next week I will have on Mr. Greg Priester with some updates. So you know what, Minister James and Brother Warren, I know you hear me. Let's plan something next week and continue this conversation. But as you know, we have our special guest, a mighty man of God. I hope you all stay on to listen to this man. He is I said it earlier, but let me go ahead and give a formal proper introduction as we get ready to bring him on. And Mr. Warren Houston from Houston, Texas. And it's not a joke. He is from Houston, Texas, and he didn't name his name Warren for Houston because of that. But he has the People Law Study Group, and he will explain what they do. He has a radio show called Know Thyself Radio
Network, and it is a radio show on Sundays at 8 p.m. Very impressive, brother. Impressed me because it is time for our men to step up. It's time. Women, can I go ahead and get on my soapbox and beat y'all up a little bit? It's time to let go and let the men do their thing and do what they have to do. Now, this polygamy thing, you know, I don't know. I just can't. Beth, now you're on. I'm going to give you 3 minutes because we've got to bring Mr. Houston on. We're going to talk about natural law and whatever else he feels led to talk about. But as you know, he did talk about that polygamy. Now, I am not the smartest person in the world, but I had to look up the word, and I understand that some people broke it down to me what it is, and they said, you know, to help the population, and if we're going to come together, we've got to come together this way. And sister girl, you know, I don't care the universe, the galaxy, the Milky Way, I don't care. Unless God himself and Jesus himself come down and tell me and put me and fight me like he did Jacob and wrestle me. That's just not me. But Beth, you could go ahead and say what you wanted to say. You ready?
Okay. You wanted me to say something. Yes. Well,
3 minutes.
Okay. One thing that we have to consider also, thousands of years ago, that's very different than today, is that in the olden days, when a person had intercourse, they would consider that person's wife. I'm saying as far as women. So in that sense, you know, they took on a responsibility, whereas today, that doesn't happen. So, so there is that sense of respect that it, in that way, should always be something in the forefront to remember. And of course, as we know, in our grandparents' day, and you know, maybe a couple of generations back, that is what was pressed upon us. You know, you should wait till marriage. You know, sex is for only, you know, bringing forth life. And in a way, that's true, too. I mean, in other words, even if you're a barren woman, you are bringing forth, because we're constantly creating what I've heard someone mention as matter-gy, not particularly the energy being a spiritual awareness that oftentimes we never understand. We don't have that heightened sense of awareness, and so the person said matter-gy because we're just dealing on a certain level, you know, this level of the human form. But yet we are multifaceted beings. And so it's very important to realize there is the spiritual, well, actually, our substance is spiritual, our true substance. And so everything should be considered not just in the physical sense of, okay, you're waiting until marriage to have sex. Remember, Christ said even if you have looked upon someone, he was trying to get to that idea of have a heightened sense of awareness that this is taking place in a spiritual realm. So
are you saying So are you saying that the way you're viewing this is that it's a sexual thing that they're really going after, not a the way they put it, and let's say this, and I'm going to go ahead because I'm going to have to bring him on, and we're going to take a break. But for all jokes aside, and you know me, I'm going to keep it real. But what happened to building community? You know, we taking on all these different, well, men taking on all these different wives. I heard a sister on YouTube saying that women need to take on all these different husbands, and
whatever. I let you have your opinion. That's you. It's all good. I'm not going to change the way you think. But whatever happened to building community, having our own actual inner community, inner circle, and we helping one another that way. You know, when you look at the Jews, when I went to New York, the Jews were packed in one community. Their money populated through the community. They're not having sex with, you know, they're not marrying three or four women or four, five or four women. They're very prosperous. You know, they're doing what they do. Why can't we do that? Because honestly, and I hope there's no children on this on this call. If they are, go ahead and sit them somewhere else. Listen, now, well, let me see if I really want to go there. But you know,
go ahead.
Even
go
participating
there.
In the, go there. You want me to go there? Y'all really want me to go there? Because I know this is Virginia. We're gonna go there. I did a threesome, and for me to look at some woman go jump on my man, can I go there now? And I have to watch. Or knowing that you're sharing him, sister girl can't do that. I'm so sorry. Let's build some community. I don't think men in this time, in this season, is strong enough for polygamy. They can't even take care of their own children at this time with their mindset. And they have to renew their mind, a new mindset. Show us better than you can tell us. Straighten up yourself. That's why I said, women, let's give them a chance to straighten up themselves. But that's just me. That's just my opinion. You have your own opinion.
Hey, I think right.
I know
where
go ahead.
Yeah, you're right, because they have not been responsible, as we know. How are you going to jump into, you know, that's like putting the horse before the cart. Again,
hey,
that was a totally different era when men,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure there are men today, and we know there are different even parts of the branch. For example, the Latter-day Saints that are still mm-hmm. practicing polygamy, and they consider themselves being responsible, and the women, okay. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there are just people with that mindset of going back thousands of years, because this time, and as you heard me mention last night with the population, and I shared with you when I was in my early 20s, I had the idea of zero population, because the truth of the matter is we're not going
mm-hmm.
to share the wealth. The reality is how we see it.
Can I say something?
Well,
we are running out of time, and can I say something?
Yeah.
I'm not going to share the man. Forget the wealth. I will share
that's the bottom
when
line.
It comes down to help. But I'm not going to share. Listen, we let's get off this subject, because this is something we're going to bring Mr. Houston on, and we're going to tackle it. It's going to be a debate, but we're going to talk about natural health today. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, you're going to hear that voice. I call him the voice. Now, women, you know, I know you might want to go ahead and get your wedding, you know, dress and stuff ready when you hear Mr. Houston, because he do have that voice. He is an awesome man of God, and we're going to go ahead and hear him after this break.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the Word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. I overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. 'Cause his hand is on me and it's keeping me alive. So many disappointments, so much I don't understand, so much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging, but no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth, your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. Don't you let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh.
Yeah, that was Molly Music. Now you know what I believe. I believe God is taking care of me, and he just got a hold on me. And, you know, everybody has their truth, your views, your God. You know, I just love what he said in this song. And when I found this song, I'm like, that's my voice right there, because I'm not going to change what you believe, but I'm going to stick with my belief. And as I said, we have this awesome, awesome man of God, this powerful man, the voice, Mr. Houston. Are you on the line? Can you hear me? Are you ready to do your thing?
Yes. Well, good afternoon, Bridget.
I hope you are. I'm great. I have had the opportunity to speak to this man for a couple of weeks now. I want to thank Miss Beth for actually connecting us and what we have been discussing. He has a lot of insight, wise man of God, knowledgeable. You know, he has some rough edges sometimes, but he got his opinions, and I love it. I love what he's doing. I love that he stands for what he believes in, and he has the people off the group. Tell us about yourself. The floor is yours. Your floor is yours until like 1:25, and we'll go ahead and close out. But go ahead and tell us about yourself.
Well, of course, I'm here from Houston, Texas, and I am a product of Houston's Fifth Ward community. And so growing up in the Fifth Ward, in an area of low income, poverty, things of that nature, you see a lot. You know a lot. You're connected to a lot of things in the street. But at any rate, of course, I had a Christian background, Christian upbringing. I did graduate, and I went on out into the world and began to do my thing. But at point, from between the age of 18 to 36, you know, a lot of good things and bad things happened within that course. And so at the age of 36, after going through so many things, so many heartaches, so many pain, losing things, and not being able to actually fight back or understand the things that were coming against me, I decided to go back to school. And I enrolled in school in June of 2008. And in March of 2010, I was receiving my Associate in Business Administration. And then in June of 2012, I received my Bachelor's in Business and Finance. And here this past May 15th, I just received my Master's in Sciences of Law. I studied law prior to going to receive my law degree in those sciences. So I had a head start even before I went. So what I saw was a disconnect between government and people. And what I mean by disconnect between government and people is that the majority or the masses of people do not know the law. And so since the majority of the masses of people do not know the law, that puts us at a grave disadvantage with what's going on here in America. And I've heard so much that was spoken on this radio show today, and I'm sitting back here just waiting to speak because so many things that we view things. I hear y'all, I hope I don't end up being an enemy by the time this show is over, but I have to step on some things because if we really want truth, let me say this. Like the scripture says, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open. But what I realize is that everybody don't want truth. There's three words I want to give you. That's truth, perception, and cognitive dissonance. Truth is objective. And what I mean by truth is objective, it does not need a defense. It does not need to be explained. It is what it is. There is no my belief of the truth and your belief of the truth. Do I have to? We are on the Bridget Norville Show right now at 11:45 Central Standard Time, 12:45 Eastern Standard Time. There is no need to believe we are on this show. That would be stupid for me to believe that I'm on the Bridget Norville Show or for you to believe it because you know you're on the Bridget Norville Show. This is what truth is. Now, when you start talking about belief, you're getting into perception. Everybody don't want the truth. People talk about truth. We used to have a saying when I was in high school, my band director used to always say, everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. And it's the same thing. People say they want truth, but people can't really deal with the truth because when you give them the truth, sometimes we suffer from what's called cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance means that you have been walking in such a way for so long that when the truth comes, you will ignore it, even though you know that it goes against it's proven itself in where it stands, but you will go against it because your mindset is where it wants to be. So therefore, your perception of things, instead of you lining your perception to the truth, you take the truth and try to line it to your, in other words, you try to bend the truth to your perception instead of bending your perception to the truth. So therefore, law is a science. And one thing that I found in the universe that is universal is mathematics and science. What do I mean? We speak English over here in America because this is the culture. This is an English-speaking country. You know, people come from other countries with different languages, but the main language here is English. So if you come to America, you need to learn to speak English. Now, do they speak English as the main language in China? No. Do they speak English as the main language in other countries? The language of their culture, from where they come from. Now, what I can guarantee you is this. 2 + 2 = 4 in America. 2 + 2 = 4 in China. 2 + 2 = 4 in India. 2 + 2 = 4 in Africa. It is a universal language. You cannot slip up with mathematics and science. So therefore, if you really want the truth, you will find it. But if you do not, then you will not get it. I'm listening to the brother from the Nation of Islam. We're talking about the march. We're talking about justice or else. Well, my question is, my statement about justice, my statement about respect for ourselves, if we're going to actually gain respect from anybody else, if we're going to receive justice, we must first find these things within ourselves. We've been marching since the 60s, and that game doesn't work anymore. Why doesn't it work? One thing that I've learned about the powers that be, they study everything. And so, therefore, it was fresh in the 60s, and because it was fresh in the 60s, it scared them. But they've had the chance to sit back and study you. I often tell people, we have a store here in Houston called Kroger's. If you don't have a Kroger's, you have a store that does exactly what I'm about to tell you. What happens is when you go to Kroger's, they have two prices. And to get you, they say, well, you know, if you want to save, you got to get the Kroger's cost cutter card. And so you get the card. And you use the card, and when you finish purchasing your groceries, you look and you say, oh, wow, I saved $20 using the Kroger Cost Cutter card. I saved over 30% on my bill using the Kroger Cost Cutter card. Well, in your mind, you're thinking this card is really there to help you save money, but that's not what that card is there for. That card is there to study your buying habits. So now that I study your buying habits, now I know how to market to you and get more money out of your pocket. See, this is the concept that we have when we talk about your belief or my belief. Truth is, there is no explanation of different beliefs. I always tell people, when you look into that word believe, you see two words in there. That word is be a lie. That's what you find when you start dealing with beliefs. So unless and until we're ready to deal with truth, then we can't wake up. We can't go any further. What we have learned, or what the people's lost to the group, we don't even deal with racism. Because racism, in our eyes, is not the issue. The issue is classism. When you look at the definitions between racism and classism, the definition of classism says classism is a prejudice of a certain or particular group of people that are not in a certain social class. The key word is classism is. When you look at the definition for racism, it says racism is a belief. You see what I'm saying? And so, therefore, we have an issue there. That's the same way it is with religion. We have Christians, we have Muslims, and we're all fighting amongst each other. And what we don't realize, your religion is a part of your culture. It had to do with what area of the globe you came up, where you came about. So, therefore, we have these different religions or these different beliefs. But what can we put our hands on this universal? What can we put our hands on this truth? What can we put our hands on this objective? And one thing that I do know, you can't change the mindset of anybody. So begging for somebody to like you, you have to first like yourself. And one thing that we as a people are lacking in, and that is education. We somehow believe that the legal system deals with morality and immorality. It don't. We as a people, we understand morals very well. But what's legally right and what's legally wrong is not what's morally right and morally wrong. And because we have that disconnect of not being educated into that legal system, the legal system has not worked for us, and it will not work for us until we change our thought pattern and begin to educate ourselves to whom much is given, much is required. And so, therefore, the people's law. Our vision and our goal is to set up chapters across the country as we educate. What would happen if everybody became lawyers? That's the mindset of the people's law group. We're talking about the thing that's going on with Washington, D.C. You actually had the power, but you gave it away. And you don't even realize how you gave it away because you don't even understand government and politics. And what do I mean by that? Black people in this country, and we're not going to talk about, we can sit up and say, well, both parties work for the same people, but black people in this country are big supporters of the Democratic Party. Democrat or democracy does not work. The word demo, which is the root word in democracy, is the same word where you get demon or demonized. It is the will of the people, and I often take people to the Bible to explain to them the difference between republic and democrat. And when you look at the founding documents in this country, you will find the word democracy nowhere in any of those documents. Yet we have people get up on TV, and they're talking about the democracy, the interest of social justice, and we don't even understand what we're looking at. This country was founded upon a republic form of government. Republic means rule by law. The whole thing of republic or republican was basically to have a small structure of government, because you have to have some type of structure of government, but to keep the government small, and therefore people will have freedom to do as they please as long as they don't bring harm upon another. Well, the Republican Party was started in the 1850s, and its main focus was to abolish slavery. Now, mind you, I'm not speaking up for these clowns that we have in offices called Republicans today, but what I am trying to show you is how we've gotten off track. When John C. Fremont was the first Republican nominee for president, of course, he lost to John C. Fillmore, and Abraham Lincoln became the first Republican president of this country. They abolished slavery. Republicans, Republican towns soon popped up over the country everywhere. The democracy, or the Democrats, the demons, the demonized, were the ones who opposed every bill that has been passed in favor of black folks in this country have been done so by the Republican Party. But the demons that were demonized fought every last one of them. There is only one bill in the history
of this country up until today that the Democrats or the demons have passed in behalf of the black folks. And the only reason why they did that is because Martin Luther King pushed them in a corner and they had no other choice. I wish I had the paperwork. I'd give you the history of what has happened. So therefore, when you understand that democracy, which means entitlement programs, which means food stamps, which means welfare, how can you, just like the scripture says, the borrower becomes slave to the lender. So how can you look out to the government for help and then don't think that they won't enslave you? You can't even live with anybody else and not respectively live by their rules. The Republican Party is a party that says do it for yourself, because the more you ask the government for help, the more you, well, in turn, the more you create more government programs. And the more government programs you create, the government begins to expand. And inside its expansion, it now begins to control you, rule you, and run you. And this is the problem that we have because we don't understand government. And we have these puppets, all these black faces up for the Democracy Party, and we flock to them, and we see this stuff happen work, and we haven't even questioned how we got what we got. So this is what the People's Law Study Group is here for. This is what the People's Law Study Group is about, because I believe in accountability. That's what I believe in, accountability. If you want to understand, I'm going to go to the scriptures and I'm going to give you this. In your scriptures, in your Bible, you can see the difference between a republic and a democracy. And that is in the Gospels at the trial of Jesus. When Jesus was first accused, he was taken to Pontius Pilate. And he was accused before Pilate. And when he was accused before Pilate, Pilate, the first thing he did was look at the law. And after reviewing the law and reviewing the case, he said, I find no fault in this man. I cannot punish him because he hasn't broken any laws. What was Pilate doing? That is what you call your republic form or your republican form of government, by looking at the law. There's nothing I can do with him. So the people, they were just bent on sentencing him anyway. So he says, okay, you all take him back down, his people, take him down to Herod. And marches Jesus all the way to Herod. Herod, he couldn't get the things out of him. He couldn't use him and manipulate him. So Herod said, I don't want him. Send him back to Pilate. He gets back to Pilate. And when he gets back to Pilate, Pilate says, you know what? I'll wash my hands. I'm not going to have anything to do with this. He hasn't broken any law. But since you people are so bent on crucifying this man, this is the time of the year that we let the people decide. Here's your interest of democracy. I'm going to show you interest of democracy right here. Since we're going to let the people decide, we'll let the people decide your fate. So they take him before the people. This is your democracy, because, see, democracy has nothing to do with law. It means mob rule or the majority rule. It matters what the law says. As long as the majority agree on it, it's okay. And that is foolish, because everything in this universe has laws. Even this earth sits on such a perfect axis that if it moved one way to the right, we would burn up by the sun. If it moved one way, an inch or smidgen off to the left, we would freeze by the moon. So everything has law. Democracy says forget law, just whatever the people say. So when they took Jesus before the people, what did democracy say? Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Give us all this evil and kill all this good. That's your democracy. There's your democracy right in your face. So this is what the People's Law Study Group is for. We're here, and we're here to stay.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the natural laws and continue the conversation. So we'll be right back.
Get the 411 has the solution for your advertising and promotional needs. With affordable pricing, we can help you get the word out. Get the 411 has your marketing solution that meets your business demand, whether it's events, conference, social gathering, social networking, new businesses, or your latest CD. Get the 411 got you covered. With a loyal following over 100,000 regular readers worldwide, let internet marketing with Get the 411 become your method of choice for advertising needs. Contact us by email at info@getthe411.biz or log on to our website at www.getthe411.biz. Call us at 321-287-7419. That's 321-287-7419. 7419 and get the 411.
Well, we're back. And as I said, we have Mr. Houston on the line, and he has went in. Now, let me explain something about this show, the Bridget Norville Show. Let me explain something. You can state any opinion you have, and when it comes down to me, I don't judge. I think everyone needs to hear everyone's opinion on how they feel and how they see their perception of things. So feel free to say, as long as you're not disrespecting someone, we don't go through disrespect, but, you know, hey, everyone has their opinion on something, and they view how they see it by their perception of how they were brought up, their culture. And you touched on some great, great things, especially culture, religion. And I was talking to someone today, and I said to them, I said, do you know most of our religion that has been put together is through the hurt and pain from that person? If you study Dianetics, if you study Baptist, Methodist, you name it, study it. And you study the origin, the history, the background, you will find the person that actually said, I found God in this way. You know, that's my God voice. Yeah, I found God, and he said, do it this way. It's because a majority of them came out of some pain, and they fell out with someone, and they got upset with someone, and they don't think, because God didn't look like the way that they were practicing, the way that they, the religion they were under, they now come out and do their own. That's my opinion, and that's what I see, and that's how I have actually, I'm just thinking, well, that's how I see what happens. So we're really walking out our hurt, and we have to be careful leading hurt through people, because hurt people hurt people. Now, what's the next religion that's going to start? But as he said, it's a culture. Now it becomes a culture within a subculture, and you have good. You have the religion that has great intentions that turns out to be, you know, man's intentions. And if they did find God, it's now the way they want it, not really how the kingdom has designed it. So I just want to put my little plug in there, but I'm going to go ahead and give the floor back to Mr. Houston. Go on. Do your thing.
All right.
Are you still there? Well, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. We want to talk about natural law. And the reason why I like natural law is because, first of all, there are 7 laws that govern the universe. And these 7 laws are in effect 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we may not know that those laws are there. And what happens is, once we realize these laws are there and we understand how they operate, it helps us to govern ourselves. And that's the first person that we should be trying to govern, not anybody else. We shouldn't be trying to govern our friends, our spouses, even our children. You know, I'll sit up there and I'll watch the commercial where the child may go and smoke weed or do some drugs, and then, you know, the father finds the child, and he's upset. He said, why are you doing this? He said, because that's how you do it. And some of us have a mentality of do as I say and not do as I do. So therefore, we have to be a paradigm and be an example. So therefore, we have to govern ourselves. And this is one of the first courses that we teach at the People's Law Study Group. Even before we get into understanding the whole law, the courtroom, and the different things, the whatnots of how to file motions and discovery, we talk about natural law. Because even Thomas Jefferson, in his day, he said this: man cannot be trusted with the government of himself, so must he then be trusted with the government of others? And we see why we're in today. We haven't governed ourselves. That's why we're in the position we're in. We haven't governed ourselves. It's a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we need to learn that. So you have to first understand that's why it's important. There are 3 planes, and those planes are the physical, mental, and spiritual. The physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And the laws of the universe work simultaneously on all 3 of these planes. What do I mean about that? One of the laws, of the 7 laws, is the law of mentalism, or the law of transmutation. And what the law of mentalism or the law of transmutation says is that the law of the mind, everything starts in the mind. Now, I can even say this on the Christian faith. You read in the Bible where it says, so a man thinketh, so it is with him. Even when Jesus told the man who was sick, he said, man, take up thy bed and walk. It's your thought process. It's your thought process. So what are you giving birth to? Are you giving Booker T. Washington? My study now is on Booker T. Washington. He has a book called Up From Slavery, Booker T. Washington and Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And how I got to Booker T. was this. I asked the question, who had the biggest or the greatest mass movement of black people in a positive level in this country? And it was Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and it has been untouched since him. We had Dr. Martin Luther King come along, and it didn't match the movement that Marcus Mosiah Garvey had. We had El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, to come along. It didn't match that movement. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, it didn't match that movement. The Nation of Islam today, none of those matched that movement. So I wanted to know, what did he do, and how did he move black people in such a way in that time? Well, I couldn't stop with him because he only took the torch that was started by the great Booker T. Washington. And one of the statements that Booker T. Washington stated, and it stays in my mind as I talk all the time, he said that there'll be some among us, talking about black people, who do not want the grievances of the Negro to die. And the reason why they don't want it to die is because either one, they want sympathy, and two, they will lose their jobs. So in other words, all this stuff that we're doing, they keep it in front of the public because they want somebody to say, we're sorry, we owe you. You can't change anybody. Secondly, this stuff is profitable. If you stand up in front of the meat with a bunch of confusion, it is profitable. People, what do people watch on the news? They watch a bunch of junk. Anything is productive. Anything is about education. If I put up an event where it's going to be some kind of wet T-shirt contest, booty shaking contest, people going to flock. If I put up something about education, people don't move as fast. And so it's the same way. As long as we keep putting up all this confusion and stuff before the media and stuff, well, then that's what we're giving birth to. That's what's in our minds. Mm-hmm. And we have to be careful what we birth, because those things work on all three planes. You are birthing these things. Everything starts in the mind. I often tell people, I say, well, you know, we're not in slavery back in the early 1800s. Nobody has any physical chains and shackles on my feet and on my neck and on my hands anymore. What you have to do is remove them off your brain. So a man who is prejudiced is not my problem. If you're prejudiced, that's your problem, not mine. I have other things to do and other things to focus on. I have to focus on building. I have to focus on changing. And I know some say, well, you know, we've done that in the past, and they came and looked at Black Wall Street, and they destroyed it. But what happened? We're supposed to look to the past and learn from the past. Okay, well, they destroyed Black Wall Street. Did the people of Black Wall Street have a backup plan? Because I don't have time to sit around and argue with what's going on. I've learned from that, so it can't stop us from building, so let's rebuild again. But this time we're going to rebuild with a backup plan in case something goes wrong.
I like that.
This is the mindset that we have when you start talking about natural law. So a lot of things that we're birthing into the universe because we don't realize is the law of mentalism says the law of the mind, everything starts there. It doesn't start on the physical plane. It doesn't start outside of us. And this is one of the problems that we had from the beginning, because when I tell people, that's why we call the show Know Thyself, because my radio show Know Thyself is because most people really don't know themselves. They don't know enough about themselves. When you first came to this planet, you probably really wasn't even conscious that you were on this planet until you turned about 5 or 6 years old. And at that time, you were bombarded with information. You were never given a chance to sum up the way you think about things. You were sent to church. You were sent to school. They told you how to walk, how to talk, what to eat, what not to eat, where to go. You were bombarded with all this information. And you took it like a computer program, and you just started walking with it. And you figured that's because you got the information, then the gospel that you have, and when I say gospel, I'm talking about everything, not just the church, but all the information that you have, it became truth.
and you never sit down and ask yourself or question yourself about any of this stuff that you've been talked to or told about. So therefore, since it's been programmed in you, you turn around and birth it out instead of looking within yourself and find the intelligence or the intellect. The word education means to learn from the inside out. So basically, even when I'm talking, if anybody of you all have any aha moments while I'm talking, the only thing I'm doing is pulling out of you what was already put in you before the foundations of the earth. That's it. But if you allow yourself to be programmed, you're going to give birth to the destruction that you were programmed. The law of correspondence, which is harmony and agreement between the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And some of you all have heard as above, so as above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so goes the soul. So there is no separation between mind, body, and soul. And in the Christian faith, as we say, when we say, Lord, teach us how to pray, he said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth. So when you understand, when you get into the science or the metaphysical aspect of that scripture, thy will be done as it is in heaven on earth, heaven is the mind. So what it's doing in the mind, it becomes birth of the earth inside the physical plane. This is what you're doing. And we also have to realize the law. And these things, these laws are so corresponding, it's almost elementary. But sometimes the most wisest things are things that are elementary. We miss some of the most easiest things. And we go and pick up some of the most confusing things to confuse ourselves. The law of gender is in everything. Everything has gender. There is feminine and masculine principles. And so this is another thing we get off in this society, because we're accepting things that years ago we wouldn't accept. Instead of understanding gender, okay, there is masculine and feminine principles. You know, basically, as we talk, the man gets excited by what he sees. A woman gets excited by what she hears. Why is there a difference? Because there's masculine and feminine principles. A man is more so intellectual. A woman is more so emotional. Why is that? There's masculine and feminine principles. That which is in man is in the woman. That which is in the woman is in the man. But we have to recognize these and be able to put our hands on these things and understand these things. If we don't, there's confusion. So we have to give room for the law of gender. Women, their outward expression is love, patience, intuition, gentleness. Men, energy, self-reliance, logic, and intellect. So every woman possesses, as I said, the qualities that are in men, and every man possesses the qualities that are in women. Some of us have even watched the movie, do you remember the movie Purple Rain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Do you know why it was titled Purple Rain?
No.
Again, that deals with the law of masculine and femininity, or the law of polarity, which the law of polarity says that everything has an opposite. There's nothing on it in this world that you can't show has an opposite. Everything has an opposite. The opposite of man is woman, boy, girl, up, down, left, right, north, south, east, west, positive, negative, good, evil, God, devil. Everything has an opposite. And so the reason why what he was bringing out with the name Purple Rain in the movie is that it represents the combining of red, which represents the male fire, and blue, which represents the female water. So when you put blue and red together, you come up with the color purple.
Wow.
So in other words, when both sides of the brain merge, you get the color purple. And see, this is where my sister, India, I tell people all the time, we need a perfect balance. India Irie sings the song, says, come back.
Okay, we lost him again. We don't hear anyone.
Come back to the middle. And when you talk about the law of polarity, what I explain about the law of polarity is the pH balance scale. If you all are familiar with the pH balance scale, 7 is the middle number on a pH balance scale. Anything beneath
below seven, I'm sorry, is acid. Acid represents destruction. Anything above seven is alkaline, and it represents life. Now, when a person dies, the alkaline level on their body is at about a three. And when it gets to about a three, what happens is the body starts to eat itself. The acid starts to eat away at the body. But what's strange is the law of polarity thing and everything on the left side going down to acid and everything on the right side going up to alkaline is that even though acid represents destruction, you still need it because it is the acids that are in your stomach that digest the food that you eat. So, therefore, that which is bad, you still need. When you get on the opposite side, alkaline, which is life, well, you want that because that's going to give you life. It's going to give you energy. It's going to have you moving. But once you get to that level of about 9.5, now you're taking in a high content of alkaline. And now that which is life now becomes deadly or dangerous. You see. Because what happens is the alkaline content can become so high, now it's destroying all the acid in your body, and you will not be able to metabolize or digest your food. So therefore, you have to understand you cannot have good without evil. You cannot have God without having a devil. They're all one and the same. This is the law of polarity. So therefore, the key to life is to walk that narrow road in between the two, because there is not another. There is no duality, does not exist. If me and you are arguing, we're not arguing about two different concepts. We're both standing at the opposite end of the pendulum of the same pole. That's the law of polarity. You're saying one thing, I'm saying another. I'm saying green, you're saying red. But it's on the same pole. So there's no duality. You have one coin and it has two sides, heads and tails. This is what we have to understand about the law of polarity. These principles are universal. They don't have anything to do with how you believe. They don't have anything to do with how you, what you think they ought to think. This is universal. It's truth. And when you apply these things to your life, they help you to become a better person. Now, I've talked about the law of the mind and transmutation, the law of correspondence, the law of gender. Let's see, what else do we need to pull up out here? Give me just a second here. Okay, another thing is the law of vibration. Or should I say, let me talk about this and I'll come back. The law of cause and effect, which reminds me of the law of polarity, reminds me of the law of feminine and the law of gender. The law of gender says you have masculine and femininity. The law of polarity says you have opposite. Everything has an opposite. This with the law of cause and effect. Whatever there is a cause that brings on a certain effect. Even when we talk about the courtrooms, when you bring a case before the court, the first thing that you need to state is your cause of action. What caused you to bring forth this action? What caused you to be in the court today? Therefore, everything that you do for whatever cause has an effect. That effect can be a good effect, and that effect can be a bad effect. And then you have to turn around and tie it back to the law of the mind. What are you birthing in your mind? What are you creating in your mind? Are you an actor? Are you a reactor? Yeah, I mean, you have to look at these things. Are you an actor or are you a reactor? I can choose, you know, energy is just like they talk about energy or matter is not created, is not destroyed, let me get this together. I'm losing my focus. I can't get the words right. But energy and matter is not created. Only transferred. Let me put it like that. Okay. What do I mean? You can be in a great mood. You talk to the wrong person with the wrong energy, and you figure out what happened. I was in a great mood. Now I'm all sad. I'm depressed. I'm angry. Well, the very person you talk to, whether you knew it or not, they were the one that was depressed and angry. And so they came in and they stoked the joy. and they switched the energy. They stole your energy, gave you theirs, mm-hmm. and they ran off. They feel good.
Mm-hmm.
They feel good after they took your energy. That's why you have to guard your mind. You have to watch who you mm-hmm. talk to. And one thing that I really, really realized about success, people do not like successful people. If you're looking for success and you think you're going to have this train of people supporting you and behind you, you are sadly mistaken. They don't like successful people. People somehow, when they see success coming, they become jealous. As they say, jealousy is cruel as the grave. They become angry. They become upset. They feel like they're going to miss out on something. They may be connected with you, and they may lose you or may lose connection with you. So they'll turn around and take your energy, and you try to figure out why I feel the way I feel. People, we have to take control and govern ourselves. You have to tell me when to stop talking because I can talk all day. I hear some music.
Yeah, it sounds like we're going to have to bring you back on. We did lose about maybe 23 minutes of this show. But we are going to bring Mr. Houston back on. I'm going to let him finish up because I want him to tell us about the People Law Study Groups and when do you meet. I know you have the Holland Trust. I think it's the Holland Trust conference call. Yeah, so tell us about it. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, we have – you can join us tonight, and we are looking for people across the country be responsible for the People's Law Study Group. We have a conference call every Monday night. You can join us tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time by calling 712-432-1212. I'll give you the number again, 712-432-1212. The access code is 668-332-000. Again, the access code is 668-332-000. That's tonight at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow night we have the Hollins People's Law Study Group Trust, Living Trust Conference call. Please call in and get on that call as well. We have income opportunities, and we want to show you how to take control of your life when it comes to trust, because you have more control than you think so.
What's a living trust? Can you give, for someone that doesn't understand what that is?
Okay, a trust is something that you do. I can explain it more so like this. In other words, if I came to you and I said, Bridget, can I borrow your car? And you give me the mm-hmm. keys to your car, what you did was you trust me. You are the trustor. I have mm-hmm. your car, and I am trustee. And so what happens is, as we pass from life to death, we have more power and control of what we do with our assets than we realize, because most of us have been taught to get a will. And a will only guarantees that you're going to go to probate court and that attorneys are going to make a whole lot of money. But a living trust is not public, it's private, and it avoids probate court. So if you want to learn more about that, get with us at that same number on Tuesday nights, 712-432-1212, access code 668-332-000. Same number, same time, different night, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and 5 p.m. Pacific. Bridget, I really enjoy being on your show. I thank you for inviting me on. I love to see. I'm passionate about this.
I see, and I thank you for coming on with your busy schedule. I would love for you to be on next week. We are going to have Greg Priester on next week. We're talking about the Watkins Institute. I would love for you to vibe and bounce off of each other, and I am going to also once again, maybe do 30 minutes of the nation. Like I said, this show is a variety show. It has everyone's opinion. Beth, are you still on the line? Is there anything you have for Houston?
Warren, you said so much. I love to comment on everything. I'm happy that we finally got you on. And I wanted to say, with our children, and he knows, everyone knows my heart towards the children and that conditioning. And the unfortunate thing is that every child doesn't have that Samuel experience where, they can't actually hear a voice and have that sense of following and that type of mentoring for hearing and allowing spirit to to lead that child. And that's the unfortunate thing, because I remember when you mentioned about 4 or 5, and I know this is really way out there, but I remember even in the womb. So, and they would say, oh, no, that's not possible. You didn't remember that. Oh, and so when you have those kind of things, and I used to have angelic visitations. So when they said, oh, no, that's not happening, and you don't have that kind of mentoring, as you said, that child then is conditioned the way, yeah, they have been conditioned, and that's the unfortunate thing. But I love, Bridget, what you said, that we are so open to hearing, you know, of a higher conscious thought. And so thank you, Warren. I thank all the ones that were on today, the brothers from the Nation of Islam, and I'm looking forward to every Monday, and that's what it's about. Spread the word, those who are listening. I passed it on to my teleconference last night, but I want us to all be awake and aware. As you know, that's always my saying. You know, we want that consciousness in the community where it will manifest change.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you're going to hear something for you. Not everything might be for you, but you're going to hear something that's going to help you. And as Mr. Houston said, I'm going to leave you with this, and then I'm going to leave you with a song. But my closing quote is, we are not a product of our environment, but a product of our thinking. Our thinking creates our environment. I had to give kudos to the Holy Spirit for downloading that to me today. Mr. Houston actually confirmed it. Mr. Houston, do you have a closing remark while we get ready to get on out of here and start the rest of our day?
Well, hey, only thing I can say is this. If you are looking for the truth, if you're really looking for the truth, if you're really seeking the truth, it's there. But you cannot be a closed-minded person. You have to open up your mind, and you have to be able to hear everybody and listen to everybody. And if you're really looking for the truth, the intellect and the intelligence in you is there to find it. And remember this. This is what we say on the Know Thyself radio show in the tongue of my Egyptian brothers. Sik a'ek et sik a'ek patu etzeru. Know thyself, O man, and then you'll know the heavens and the gods. Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to leave you with a conqueror, with Estelle, and focus in, because we are conquerors. And once we believe that and we understand that, we can conquer anything. I want to thank you for listening to the Bridget Norville Show, and you have a blessed day. See you next Monday.
Life is like a big merry-go-round. You're up in it now. Going in circles, trying to get to where you are. Everybody's been counting you out, but where are they?